Welcome to Drone It Group Drone Business Chats. We talk about the ups and downs of being in the drone industry with Lee Castledine and Andy Thee.
Oh, good morning, Lee.
Andy, how are you, mate? Got your coffee?
I've had my coffee and I smashed it.
Righto, what do we got on today? To everyone out there listening.
Hopefully you guys will start listening. It's all good.
Oh, we've got a few.
We've got work to do.
So the format of the show is a little bit talking all things drones, obviously some relevant news, but also not only that, things about getting started in the business and I suppose the successes and failures that we've had here at Drone It, and we're going to share, I suppose, some of those insights with people who want to listen, who are looking to get started in the industry and are finding it a little bit tough because it is a little bit tough at the moment with, I suppose, a saturated market. So
it's busy out there. It's noisy.
Yeah, we've had a busy week. Not so much flying because we've had some horrible weather here at Southeast Queensland. So we've used that time very well, and we did a little bit of a, an audit on all of our drones, bit of a cleanup, firmware upgrades. Andy, you've been busy editing. I've been busy booking in jobs for next week and also rescheduling work for next week. So it's going to be a real busy sort of March. When you lose a week due to bad weather, it really pushes everything around. So it's all about managing clients and making sure that you can get those jobs done in the time frame in which they need it. So I suppose, what's happened in news this week with drones?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, Lee, because I think everyone is getting excited now. We're starting to see the pattern that DJI follow, and it is a pattern of drop drastically the price of the previous model drone, and within a week or two, we will release a new one.
Is that what they do, is it?
That is what they do. And I'm quite aware of this because it happened to me.
Firsthand.
It did happen firsthand. I'd been flying my P2 around for a while quite happily.
That's a DJI Phantom 2
with the GoPro on it. It does feel old these days when you talk about it, but the footage is still good. But besides that, I was going to Hawaii. I was like, sweet. I was like, oh wow, look how cheap the P3 Pro is now. Got it. And then a few days later, bang, P4 released. I was dirty, to be honest. I was like, wow. I rang up the guys that I had purchased the drone from.
They claimed that they never knew it was coming. The new drone was coming.
No one told us anything, man, No, we didn't know, man. I'm as surprised as you,
So I was spewing about that, but regardless, I was going to Hawaii, so I wasn't too spewing. But that's definitely that something. So DJI dropped the price of Mavic Pro, dropped the price of the Spark by at least 25%.
So what are you insinuating or suggesting that there's going to be a new release soon? And what will that release be?
Well, let your imagination run wild, Lee. What could that be? Well, I think definitely the improvement's going to be with your camera. And from
what drone, though? Is it going to be an Inspire, a Phantom, a Mavic, an Air? There's so many different kinds.
Now, this is purely speculatory, but I do believe it will be a Mavic and a Phantom. So I'm putting it out there now. It's going to be a Phantom 5 and a Mavic Pro 2. And from what I've seen, research from the talk, what's going on out there in the interweb, is that it will be a 1-inch sensor on the Mavic.
Okay.
So that camera is going to get bigger, and the camera that's on the P4 now is basically going to be on the Mavic.
All right. So basically, you think the frames are going to stay the same. However, the camera specs are going to move basically from airframe to airframe.
So
for those who aren't technically minded, I know a little bit about cameras. 1-inch sensor. What does it actually mean?
Well, okay. So it means
in short. So layman's terms, give it to us.
It's It's better. it's better.
Okay.
So like, you know, the bigger sensor means it gives you more. Your image is going to be better because there's more of the image that's in it.
Okay.
It's so, you know, it's not like you're using a mobile phone compared to like a DSLR. If anyone's done that before, then they can see that there's a difference in
beautiful.
In quality of the image, and also what the image can do in lower light as well.
All right. So So it's on record, obviously. So we'll find out. We'll come back and review this in a month's time to see whether
might
it's true.
Might bite me in the bum, but I
put it out there.
I'm feeling it.
I think it's important because, you know, there's so many different models these days as well. And if you think of DJI being a bit like Apple in a sense that they tend to release drones every couple of years, they're probably getting shorter and shorter in terms of the time frame in which they're releasing new models, and they're literally releasing different drones for different price points. So if you think what used to be an Inspire, a Phantom, is now Inspire, Phantom, Mavic, Spark, and there's all these different price points. So whatever drone that you're looking for, whatever price you have in mind, DJI will have a drone for you. So that's important to know. So that's good news, I suppose. It confuses probably a lot of people even more with more drones, but hey, I suppose that's why there's a lot of people out there doing reviews and you know, there's heaps of information on the internet. As soon as a new drone will be released, they'll compare that drone with the current drones in the marketplace, and then you can make your decision, I suppose. So that's interesting news. I think what we wanted to chat today about was probably the concept of working for free.
Working for free.
Ooh, that hurts. It hurts when you even just suggest it. And the reason why this is an important topic is it pretty much kickstarted Droneit. When I first started, the rules and regulations around getting certification were a lot more stricter than what they are now. But for me, the concept of going out there and working for free was a tough one because, in essence, it goes, against the thought of a business going, hey, you want a sec, you know, you exchange, you know, goods for goods, whether it be money for a service or a product.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that myself, to get out there and to really saturate the market, I needed to go out there and work for free. And I had to. I was actually forced into it because I was waiting for my REOC. It was called the UOC. It's now called a REOC, which for those people is your license that CASA issue you so that you can fly commercially. So I was forced in this position where I needed to fly, and I thought, well, I'm going to fly anyway. How about I get out there and I reach out to as many people I know in my inner network and pretty much who might need drone work and offer my services for free. Now, two things happened then. One, I was out there and I was flying and I was sort of putting myself under pressure to capture the image as opposed to going out there on a nice afternoon and work for yourself and just have that little bit of freedom of flying around and having fun. I actually put myself under a bit of pressure because I was, even though I was giving my services for free, I wanted to do a good job for the client.
Under pressure.
Dun, 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 dun. So that's one thing that I found that I improved on.
Mm.
And then also, not only that, it was a variation of the work that came in. So, you know, for one minute I was doing a lifestyle TV show, the next minute I was trying to chase a car down the road. So my skills increased dramatically, as well as putting myself under pressure. That helped me, I suppose, not only get a little bit of a footprint in the marketplace here in Southeast Queensland, but also the work that I provided got that reputation out there. Now, the tough thing is knowing that going out there, if you are going to do this, I think it's really important, especially in today's marketplace, because with the rules and regulations that have changed, sub 2 kilogram means that a lot more people can go out there and fly commercially without an actual license. It means the marketplace is a lot more saturated. So how do you actually go out there and make a living, or how do you actually start making money out of this industry? It's an exciting industry, but it is quite challenging these days because it's saturated. So for me, it was getting out there working for free, but knowing in the back of my mind that that won't necessarily relate to these clients coming back. So it wasn't like I'm going to work for you, but hang on a sec, you've got to provide me with work down the track.
It's a risk.
It's a risk, and it's something that I was prepared to do. Now, if you think of, let's say you go out there to 20 people that you know who may, whether it be real estate agents, is a classic example. They're always looking for free stuff, low paying. They're always looking for free stuff. You go out there. Now, out of those 20 clients, probably two or three may use you again. So, and they may use you over and over again. So that's a start in the industry. You always go within the inner circle of the people that you know. Mm. And that, for me, really kick-started Drone It. Once we got our certificate, the work flowed in out of the probably the 6 months work. And I think we actually did a calculation on the amount of work in those 6 months that I did and put a value to that. And it was close to around $30,000
to $40,000.
Stop it. Yeah. So it's one of the mindset of, hang on a sec, go out there, do the work, and know, don't ask for anything in return. And sooner or later, if your work is good enough, it'll answer for itself. People will come back to you because they trust you and they know that you went out there. So that's a little, I suppose, a little bit of history as to how Drone It got started. Basically, it's probably yourself, Andy, with regards to how you got started as well.
My word. So basically you would have spent, say, $30,000 in 6 months, would you say?
On my time, If I put a value on it.
So that was kind of, I get maybe in a way, that almost like promotion and marketing for yourself.
Absolutely.
And I guess it paid off because you've got more work. But what you, I guess, in anyone, and what I had to realize when I was doing it for free is it's not quick, and you just got to sort of cushion yourself, I guess, to a certain degree, and so you can go, all right, I can do these free jobs. Well, especially if it's something brand new. I mean, I hadn't flown drones before, so I was like, well, I have to do some stuff like this to make some mistakes.
Well, you got to get your skill level up, haven't you?
Skill levels,
but and more importantly, skill level under pressure as well.
Under pressure, you get that experience of like, how do you deal with certain people, certain situations. There's always, in anything that's creative or anything like that, there's always variables that will that you'll encounter, and it's always, I guess, best to do it that at a semi-professional level first. By all means, cut your teeth, get bruised, bleed, sweat, go through all the stress of that then. And then when you come to the big gigs, you deal with, I don't know, crazy deadlines or hardcore customers and clients, and then, man, you don't break a sweat and you punch through it, and it's, then you get paid.
It's exactly like, I suppose, training for a game. With regards, I always sort of refer back to sport because that's my background. But having that real high intensity net session or practice session, and then when you go out in the middle and you're playing the game, you're not caught out and you don't feel like you're out of your boundaries when two or three people are looking over your shoulder trying to sort of see what sort of image that you're capturing or whatever. So that's an important, I think a really important, because I get a lot of questions coming and go, oh, how'd you get started? I'm just not getting the clients, you know. And I think a lot of people under the misconception of, I'll buy a drone, I'll put a couple of ads up on Facebook and open an Instagram account, and all the customers will start coming. It's not like that. It's okay, a slow burn. Unfortunately, it is a slow burn. But if you're in it and you want to do it for a long period of time, there's nothing wrong with you going out doing free jobs on the side while you sort of got your normal job. We're not saying sort of throwing your day job and then just do this for nothing, unless you've got a crap load of money in the account and then you can just do that. So that's an important step to get started, because what will eventually happen is you'll showcase your work. You can still promote the fact that you're doing work for these people, and then the reputation will start. Oh, hang on a sec, this is a legitimate business. You've got clients, you've got, you know, sort of high-end clients or sort of clients that you can showcase on your showreel. So yeah, that was a real, I suppose it was a tough period, because at some stage you're going, why am I doing this, man? I should be just, you know, you start doubting yourself with regards to, you know, I can easily just go and get a day job and get paid or whatever. But, you know, if you want to create your own little business, and it doesn't have to be a full-time job, it can still be a bit of a side hustle. But, that's how Drone It got started. you know, and we've kicked on and done, you know, a lot more things since then. But for those out there who are looking to get started, grab yourself a drone, get out there, reach out to all your network of people around you, go and just tap on, knock on doors. People will not, especially real estate agents, will not knock back free images and free drone stuff.
No way. And then all of a sudden, you've got a portfolio. And that's what I used it more for anything, because I'm like, oh, cool, start a business, have a website, have an Instagram feed and Facebook. Well, you got nothing on it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You're going to use stock images. So that was the best way to also get a bunch of content up quick.
Well, you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to be flying anyway.
Yeah.
Aren't you? So if you're interested and really keen on sort of improving your skill, you're going to go out there and fly regardless. So why don't you put yourself under pressure, reach out to someone, say, hey, can I grab some footage for you? You know, there's nothing in it. The only thing is, can I use that footage for my own showreel? Yeah. Let's probably make sure you express that.
Stipulate
that one, and away you go. So I think that's an important thing, especially this day and age. As I said, the sub 2 kilogram rule has saturated the market. Back when we started, there was probably only about 800 certified operators that could fly commercially, and I had to wait for that for 6 months. Now anyone can buy a Mavic or a P3 or P4 and fly the very next day. So
you can buy it as soon as you walk out of the store, in the car park of Toys R Us. Do Toys R Us even exist anymore?
I think the market is for sort of 5-year-olds to 10-year-olds. I don't think they're selling P3 or Mavics. JB Hi-Fi.
So you can walk out of the JB Hi-Fi or whoever, Harvey Norman, whoever's selling drones, right, any store, and yeah, you can fly and take pictures of the car park and sell it back to the store.
So that's probably, as I said, that's one thing I wanted to get across, and especially early in these podcasts.
At what point do you have to pull the pin? Like, if someone, you're like, mate, this guy's having a lend.
Yeah, good question that, Andy.
So it gets to a point where someone's like, wow, I've done 10 jobs for these guys. And then you look and they're all of a sudden, they're making money off what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a tough one where the only downside of doing work for free, one, you need to barter your services, so you're doing it for free. However, you know, the downside to that is you've set the baseline as to what your rate is.
That hurts.
And yeah, that hurts. Yeah. So when you actually go and ask for, hey, guys, these are my rates, and well, that's a whole new podcast in terms of, you know, what the going rate is. It's forever shifting and moving on a week-to-week basis for whatever area you're in, location, the type of work, etc. I think that's a really important thing, and that is the strength of your relationship with your client will determine the point in which both parties are happy to start paying for services. Now, if you've got a strong relationship, you say, well, hang on a sec, guys, I have done a bit of work for you. You know it's quality. It's at that time where I need to start charging. If you have a good relationship with your client, that will relate. The client should not back down unless you're charging exorbitant rates. If you don't have a good relationship and someone's taking the piss, then what will basically happen is they will probably go to someone else and try and get it for free as well. In which case, yes, you've probably lost out on a bit of work there. However, the good news is
that well is dry. Move on.
You move on to another client. Highly likely that client was going to be a long-term client anyway, and that's another podcast, creating long-term clients. But you know that the worst case scenario, what's actually happened is you've improved your skill level. You've gone out there, you've flown, you've got a showreel now, and you've improved your skill level. Move on to another client. So, for example, Mr. Billy J. Smith, who is actually a person, shouldn't have used that name, but he was, he's a real estate agent, for example, and you go out and do 10 shoots for him, doing real basic photography. Then you say, hang on a sec, Billy, you know what I'm going to do? I need to start charging here. How about we do $250 a session? He goes, nah, mate, you know, look, I'll probably go somewhere else. Then, you know, look, it hurts a bit because you're saying, I've done a bit of work for you, now it's time, but you know, there's no long-term relationship with him. So, and the good news is you've got experience now in the real estate industry, so you can go to Bob, Jane, whoever you want, T-Mart. You can go to whoever you want and say, hey, these are my real estate photos. I'm taking a pretty good photo. How about some work?
And so I guess what you use your time very wisely and learn how to talk to people and handshake and remember people's names.
Well, you've got no...
That's what you've got to do, as well as you helped out Billy, but in the same time, you're out there and you see another real estate agent's car there. Man, go up and introduce yourself. Say hi. Don't tell him you're doing work for Billy for free. You just go, oh, hi, I'm just doing some work here for this, such and such. Here's my card. Maybe.
Good morning, Casey.
G'day. And if you're happy with what you can see, then game on. You know what I mean? Well, that's what it's about. You got to look for those other opportunities. Oh, there's another real estate agent. Good. Oh, look, I'm taking a photo of a house. Some guy's over the road building a house. They go and talk to the construction company. All of a sudden, you're doing work for them, and it's not just real estate. And that's a totally different kettle of fish, because construction guys, you wear a different hat when you're talking with them and working with them, and the product they want is a lot different to the real estate agent.
Well, you know very well, Andy, that you do a lot of the flying these days. I only pick and choose the good jobs which they came in. So you're on the ground pretty much daily out at site, and you're in itself probably one of the best marketing tools for the business. When you roll out there with all the drone gear and you've got your drone around, people do look at you and people will be drawn to coming up and having a chat because they see something shiny, they see something in the sky as well.
Like
the actual drone itself. So they actually are drawn to coming over and having a chat. So that is a great opportunity to just to network and get out there, because if they see you flying, they'll remember that. All it takes is a quick chat, a business card, a follow-up, and away you go. So what I'm trying to say there is, when you're out at site, people will actually come to you. You don't have to go looking at people because you're flying. People will come to you, engage in that conversation, not while you're flying, of course, but at the end, have a chat, and then you never know where that might lead. So, follow the breadcrumb, because, all of a sudden you might find a huge loaf of bread and you've got a great client that you can keep using on a weekly basis.
A bakery, croissants.
You love your croissants, don't you?
Yeah, I do like my croissants. But that comes down to, you can be a good pilot and know all the tech stuff, but you've got to be good at business and relating to people and talking to people and finding out quickly, very quickly, who they are and then how to talk to them the right way to continue a conversation again down the track that will hopefully be fruitful for you.
Yeah, well, that's a whole new podcast in terms of client relationship. So I think it's about it. We've waffled through. I've finished my coffee. So
I finished my coffee before we even started.
we've got to get started in the day's work, haven't we?
Yes.
All right. Well, until next time. Thanks for listening, guys. Andy, thanks for your informative
Thoughts.
Yeah.
Contribution, Lee. Yeah, well, we hope you guys got something out of that. If you're interested, then keep your ear out, because there'll be more of these coming along very soon. Not just a weekly roundup, but tips and tricks that we've learnt on our way with drones, and we'll be dropping those truth bombs off pretty much all week.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.